Good evening, everyone. This is the first regular semi-monthly meeting of the 2013 Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is March 12th at 5:37 p.m. Pacific, 8:37 p.m. Eastern Time. Forgive me for the background noise. I'll try to get somewhere a bit quieter. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I am a KPFA listener rep. Oh, God, just a second. Okay, hopefully the sirens will run their course. Good old downtown Oakland. Anyway, my name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a KPFA listener up, the outgoing chair of this committee. Our outgoing secretary is R. Paul Martin from WBAI. R. Paul, can you go ahead and call the roll?
Okay. Jim Boyd.
Here.
John Cromshell.
Here.
Marcus Jeter. R. Paul Martin, here. Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Vinicius Saba. Richard Uzel.
Here.
Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
That's eight.
Okay. That's quorum. Wonderful. Okay, so just a little bit of procedural stuff before we move into the officer elections for this year. We do need to approve an agenda for the meeting. We need to approve the outgoing minutes, and then I just wanted to do a little brief statement about the committee makeup, the Yahoo group, etc., just so we get all of that clarified. At that point, we'll move into committee elections for the officers. There's an email that was sent out at 4:42 p.m. It's called A Better Draft Agenda. And it corrected the errors that were made in the earlier agenda that R. Paul pointed out. There are still a couple of things that need to change, but I will read it out loud for the stream, and then we can modify it as we wish. Item 1 is roll call. Item 2 is approve agenda. Item 3 is approve minutes. Item 4 is orientation and housekeeping, which are just brief notes about the makeup of the 2013 committee. Information about the Yahoo group and the documents file there, and a request to the secretary to send the budgetary schedule to all of the new members. Item 5 is to appoint or elect a 2013 secretary. Item 6 is to appoint or elect a 2013 chair. Item 7, we have a couple of requests for non-voting member status and guest privileges on the committee that we need to deal with. Item 8 would be a review of the preliminary consolidated financial statement, which was sent to the group. And I think rather than reviewing it tonight, we will probably be scheduling reviews from each of the treasurers or each of the signal areas, is my guess, but we can see how we feel about that. Item 9 came out of a request by Janice Ewart, an affiliate manager, about whether and sort of, a general concern. It's a work plan regarding quarterly monitoring, cash management, centralization, et cetera, basically until the budget process kicks in June, what exactly the committee is going to do. And item 10, if we get to it, is the pending item from last year, which was policy regarding simulcasted programs broadcast on more than one station, and the pledge handling. There are two other items that I need to mention. The first is we should confirm our meeting schedule for the rest of the year, so I'd like to put that hopefully in the housekeeping item, if that's okay. And the second modification that I would make is that we did have a request from Brian DeShazer to join us on the call. If possible, briefly, there are some affiliates-related items he wants to put on the committee agenda, and I don't know if people feel that's a good use of time tonight or not. So the request is pending, and we'll need to decide. So are there any modifications to the proposed agenda, changes?
Question?
Yeah.
Okay, where do we put Brian DeShazer in this?
Well, it's going to have to be fairly late down. I would say we stick it in at item 11, and we get to it or we don't.
Okay. And it's Brian DeShazer on affiliate issues?
Archive issues.
Okay.
I'm just going to send him a quick email about the approximate time. And he may decide to postpone. Let's see. So put it in tentatively. Are there any other changes to the agenda?
Question.
Yes, who's that? Is that Tony?
Tony. Yes.
Hi, Tony.
Do we have a time certain to adjourn, or we just go for it whenever?
We don't go into eternity unless it's budget season, but the meeting can go up to 3 hours. I don't believe that we will tonight. We will shoot for getting out of here around 7:30, 8 o'clock Pacific.
Sounds good.
Okay. If we can do it faster, that's great. Let's see how it goes. I would say tonight, because there's nothing that we have to do, we would certainly not go past 8:30 Pacific, and I'd be surprised if it lasts that long.
I move to adopt the agenda as read.
Okay. Any objections?
No objections. I'm wondering if people could identify themselves when they speak for a while until I get accustomed to understanding who's speaking. This is only my second call, and I haven't really learned all the voices yet. This is my
sure.
call. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
That was Arthur
okay.
Martin from BAI saying adopt the agenda.
Thank you.
Okay. Hearing no objections, the agenda is hereby adopted. At this point in time, and I understand that many people will abstain, but we do have one set of pending minutes from the previous meeting in February, and I'm going to ask the outgoing Secretary R. Paul Martin take us through getting those approved. Feel free to abstain if you did not participate in the meeting.
Okay, let's see here. We have minutes. We have the public minutes from draft minutes. From the February 19th meeting, and they were posted early today. And how do we want to handle this? Do we want to just make a motion and see what people want to do, or do we want to read them all out? They're 3 pages long.
This is Tracy. I am never an advocate of reading the minutes on the stream. I think it wastes a whole bunch of time.
Okay.
My recommendation would be that someone who attended the meeting in question, and there are several of us, would move to approve those minutes.
Yes,
Jim. If they feel that they are worthy of approval. Hi, Jim.
Move that the that was February 19th.
Mm-hmm.
2:13 minutes of the NSC be approved as submitted.
Okay. I realize a number of people will want to abstain, so R. Paul, if you could call the roll on the motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. Okay, the motion is to approve the February 19th minutes. Jim Boyd.
Yes.
John Cromshaw.
Abstain.
Marcus Jeter? R. Paul Martin, yes. Tony Norman?
Abstain.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Manisha Saba? Barbara Wipperman?
Abstain. However, I was at the meeting. I'm abstaining, though.
Okay. Is there anybody whose name I didn't call?
Richard Uzzell. Abstain.
Richard Uzzell.
Wow. Okay.
Abstain.
Okay.
From KPFT. So if you could add him to your role.
I accidentally didn't put his name in. And you're abstaining, so there you go. All right.
You call me in the attendance.
Yeah, I got on the you're on the membership list, but when I was putting the roll call vote form together, I accidentally left you off. Sorry about that. I'll correct that during the meeting. The result
I can run,
is.
But I can't hide.
no, you can't.
4 yes, 0 no, 4 abstentions.
Okay, under the circumstances, that's fair enough. Okay, so before we turn to the officer elections, I just wanted to do a little bit of orientation and housekeeping and just make sure that we've got the transitional stuff taken care of, if that's okay. It'll be pretty fast. The first is just for anyone who might be listening, the makeup of this committee is that we have the local board treasurers from each of the 5 signal areas, and those folks are currently Barbara Whipperman from KPFA Berkeley, Michael Novick, KPFK Los Angeles, Jim Boyd, KPFT Houston, Marcus Jetter, WPFW, Washington, D.C., and R. Paul Martin from WBAI New York. And then we have one director from the Pacifica National Board from each station who is who either volunteered or was elected to the committee. And those members are Manajay Saba from New York, Tony Norman from Washington, D.C., Richard Uzel from Houston, Texas, John Crumshaw from Los Angeles, and myself from Berkeley. In addition, we do generally have as a voting member of this committee the Chief Financial Officer of the Pacifica Foundation. That job is currently vacant, so that seat is currently vacant. And sometimes we will be joined by the interim executive director, but not tonight, apparently. The ED is a non-voting member on this committee, if she chooses to attend. Any questions or?
I just wanted to reiterate the what was said earlier, that on the KPFTX membership list for the committee, there are only about 5 names apart from Otis, and so that should be corrected.
That needs to be corrected. Agreed, and I will take care of that in my outgoing duties very shortly this evening. So it should be fine by the next meeting. The information was sent, but I guess it didn't. It was didn't make it from one place to the other. There is a Yahoo group for the National Finance Committee. It's called National Finance Committee at Yahoo.com. All of you seem to be receiving the messages there. The draft agenda will be sent out there. And the finance. Yeah, it's a Yahoo group. The Finance Committee has had the Yahoo group for a considerable amount of time, so the records that are in there for files go back for about 8 or 10 years, which is a useful resource. And I recommend to all of you that at some point you pay a visit to the yahoogroups.com site and take a look at some of that material. There's lots to check out. In addition, right now, I believe the administrators of the group are myself and R. Paul as the outgoing officers, and we will transfer that to whoever the incoming officers are. Okay. The last item is the budgetary schedule document, and I wanted to ask R. Paul as the outgoing secretary if he could go ahead and post that once again to all the members of the group, because it's an important document that sort of binds one of our primary duties in terms of schedule, and once it sort of kicks in May or June, that's what we'll be doing for the second half of the year. So I think it would be good if all the members of the committee were, you know, had the document handy and were familiar with it.
To identify here, that's the budget timeline you want, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'll post that at some point here.
Okay. So unless there's any other questions, and as I said, I'll commit to making sure the KPFTX list is correct within the next 24 hours. Are there any other sort of housekeeping items that...
You said you have to confirm the schedule for the year?
Yes, we should do that next. I agree. Anything else? Okay. I think probably this should be handled after the elections, but let me just say what the schedule has been, and then people can think it over a bit.
The Finance Committee has been meeting on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. I'd be happy to have incumbent members talk a bit about how they think that's been working or not working. Generally, it seems to have worked fairly well. We have pretty high attendance. I don't believe in all the period of time it's been on the NFC, which is 3 years now, that it's ever missed quorum. That said, during the budgetary season, we meet as often as we have to get our budgets approved and through, and I think people would confirm that we often have to meet once a week for that period of time, which is usually August and September, and sometimes more than that. We do occasionally cancel the second meeting of the month if we have holidays or three-day weekends or other things that seem pressing, but in general, we try to meet about twice a month. So that's what it has been, and it's been the second and fourth Tuesdays. It doesn't have to stay that way. So I think what I'm going to do is just sort of let people think about that a bit. Is there anyone who's been on the committee who wants to say something pro or con about the current schedule? Like it, don't like it, hate it, whatever. Okay.
This is Jim.
That was our Paul. Yes, Jim.
Yeah, I think it's worked pretty good all along. A few months, we just don't have any work to do, but we've kind of been on a phone call for about half an hour. And the only thing I'd suggest is if we don't have anything really to do, it may be better just to cancel. I think cancel, what, one meeting in January?
Yeah.
But that would be helpful so we don't get to the point where there's a need to show up when there's nothing to do.
I would agree, and I would say that that was pretty temporary and related to the total paucity of financial statements in January, which did not leave us with much, which I hope is not something that will be repeated. But, yeah. Agreed. Anybody else?
Richard, a question?
Yeah.
When does... How many months can we do with just one meeting and before we get into the thick of things?
Well, I think that's something for the committee to decide. Maybe... Since we're going to talk a little bit about a work plan until the budget just basically stumps on everything else, which will start to happen around June. So maybe when we discuss the work plan is the right time to finalize this, because then we'll maybe have a sense of what it is that we want to accomplish between now and June. Would that be okay?
So we schedule two meetings a month throughout the whole year, and for the first 2 or 3 months, we can set maybe the first or last of those meetings as our actual meeting date?
Yeah, we could certainly go ahead and grab all the dates on the calendar and leave the second meeting of the month optional, with the option to cancel it if we want to. But that would be one option.
This is Barbara.
Yeah.
If we're seriously talking about this idea, I would prefer to cancel the first one in April and have us meet on the fourth Tuesday, and also cancel the one at the end of this month. But I realize that's a long period of time. It's just that there are some activities I'm working on with at the station with an event for the middle of April. So just for me, would be convenient.
Okay. I mean, speaking for myself, whatever we decide to do, I'm not sure we can wait 6 weeks before meeting again. That sounds a bit long to me. But... Okay, and maybe we can arrange a scenario where we meet, where the set meeting is the fourth Tuesday and the second Tuesday is optional. We'll see. But I think maybe the final decision on that is best left to the work plan discussion, because if we come up with a whole bunch of things that we want to do, that's going to impact how much we need to meet.
Okay. Hearing no strong objections, let's move ahead. Okay, so we're into the officer elections for 2013. We have two to pick. One is a new secretary and one is a new chair. I did the secretary first. I don't know why. That's open for change. But if there's no objection, let's go ahead and open up nominations for the 2013 NFC Finance Committee.
I will nominate John Crumshaw. I'll nominate Tracy for chair.
No. We're doing secretary first. Thank you, though.
Oh, I'll nominate R. Paul for secretary.
Richard second.
Okay.
Who just nominated?
R. Paul, you were nominated by John Crumshaw. It was seconded by Richard Uzel, although we don't really need seconds, but that's nice. I will certainly third it. Do you accept your nomination is the first question.
Okay, yeah.
There's a shocker. And then the other question is, are there any other nominations? All right. Then it seems to me by acclamation, once again, our Paul Martin is the Secretary of the 2013 National Finance Committee. Congratulations, our Paul, or thank you, whatever the right terminology is. It might be thank you.
But I had a 45-minute speech. Don't I get to give that now?
You can thank the Academy, yes.
And really, I want the epaulets on my uniform to be a little more plush this year, okay?
Duly noted for the record.
John here. I'm new to the Finance Committee, but I would like to hear that 45-minute speech.
You guys can do it at the end.
Yeah, I know you would.
All right. Okay, I guess we'll have to.
Yeah, that sounded like an objection to the 45-minute speech to me. Okay. Maybe later, during one of those times we have nothing to do. Okay. So with that, R. Paul, would you like to preside over the chair election portion? I think that's probably
okay.
Correct, if you would.
Let me write that down. I'm having to type with one finger, and we'll make a dash line. Okay. All right. The next item is appoint-elect 2013 chair. Nominations are open. Are there any nominations for chair of the National Finance Committee?
Jim, nominate Tracy Rosenberg.
Second.
Okay. Nominations never need seconds, but okay, so Tracy Rosenberg has been nominated. Are there any other nominations? Going once, twice, three times. Hearing no other nominations, we'll close the nominations, and since there's only one candidate, I think this means that Tracy Rosenberg is elected chair of the NFC for 2013. Automatically. There you go. By acclamation.
Hubba.
Yeah, by acclamation is a nicer way to say it. But, okay, well, great. Thank you, R. Paul. That was incredibly quick. So in response to Tony, we may get off this call earlier rather than later. All right. So that brings us to our next item, which I had sent some email about in response to R. Paul's inquiry, but for those of you who might not have had a chance to read it, and also for the stream, let me just sort of go over what we're talking about. So we've had two requests from Pacifica National Board directors to for basically the parameters for participating in this committee as non-voting members. To be clear, there are only 11 voting members of this committee set up in the bylaws, so that's not discretionary to either this committee or to, in fact, the Pacifica National Board. So the parameters would be a non-voting kind of participation or relationship. That said, any Pacifica National Board director is free to listen to this call at any time. That's understood. The public call, the open sessions are streamed, so they're not hard to listen to. The closed sessions, we would provide the call-in number to any
individual upon request. So that we don't need to discuss. That's just a fact. What we would be discussing is whether non-voting guests, and this would be on an ongoing basis, not for a particular meeting as we've had in the past or on a particular subject, would be participants in the meeting in terms of contributing to the dialogue. Just to be clear, the request that there are two of them, one is from an affiliate director who is new to the PNB, Janice Lee Ewart. Janice is representing KFAI in Minneapolis and the affiliates in general. Her day job is currently as the interim executive director of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. Affiliate directors in general are not on the finance committee, again, by the sort of bylaws composition, but she had expressed an interest, and it would be up to us to decide if we would want her to participate or if we would simply restrict the participation to listening. The second request is from Lizette King, who is a director from WPFW, who ran for this committee, and Mr. Norman won that election. And it would be the same question of the parameters of participation. To the best of my knowledge, both of these requests are for ongoing participation, as I said, not for a particular meeting or a particular subject. So basically, it's up to the will of the committee how we want to handle these requests, but I had said as outgoing chair and now current chair that I would present them to the committee and then I would let both of them know what the committee decided. So I'm going to kind of leave it out there for discussion, and then hopefully we can come to some conclusion about how we'd like to handle this. Yes, John?
I have a motion just to formalize our discussion. That would be that we would welcome participation as a listening participant, but that the contributions as far as speaking during the meetings would be limited to those people who are on the Finance Committee. And if there's a second, I will motivate it.
Second.
Okay. I think that was Jim, right?
Tony, second.
Oh, Tony is seconding. Okay. So that motion's on the floor.
May I motivate the motion?
Yes, you may.
May I motivate the motion? I would feel that this gives us a great opportunity to discuss important issues, and with a limited number of people, we can certainly accomplish a lot more, and the Finance Committee is really one of the most important committees on the PNB. So it would be to our advantage and to the advantage of the foundation to limit the participation in terms of vocal participation or otherwise contributing directly to the meeting to those people who have been elected, the 11 people that you mentioned, including the CFO, when that position is filled.
Okay, I guess I'll take a stack if there's any further discussion of the I will put myself on the stack. Who else wants to be on it?
Michael Novick.
Madam Chair?
Michael Novick, yes. Arpal?
I need to get the wording of this thing. What I have is we would welcome, this is spelled welcome, participation as a listening participant, but participation in terms of speaking. What is the rest of that?
John, do you want to fill in your language?
Yes, I would say as a listening participant, but not to speak during the meeting, but simply to listen.
Is the word director in there?
At the moment, but we can wordsmith it a bit.
I could certainly work on that. I would say that directors may participate in both sessions, however, and then the rest of it would follow. Directors who are not elected to the Finance Committee.
You still have a stack?
We have a stack. We're just waiting for them. election wording to be finalized. We do that so our poll can give us accurate minutes. So just give us a second. Our poll, can you read what you have?
Yeah. What I have is, we would welcome participation by directors as a listening participant, but not to speak during the meeting, only to listen. I think we did a little work on this. the NFC.
Okay.
The NFC.
Could I give a try?
Go right ahead.
It sounds to me like what John said the first time around, and John should totally correct me if I'm wrong, was that the NFC would welcome any director as a listening participant to both open and closed sessions of the NFC, but verbal participation in the meeting would be limited to the directors that have been elected and the CFO. To the members who have been elected. Sorry, not all of us are directors. To the members who have been elected.
Yes, that would accurately summarize what I had intended to
Is it, yeah, well, if John's okay with that, our caller, does that sound like English?
Yeah. The NFC welcomes participation by directors as listening participants in both open and closed sessions of the NFC, but verbal participation would be limited to the members who have been elected to the NFC and the CFO.
Okay, I think we got it. Eureka. Okay, so let's take a stack on the motion. I heard Michael Novick. Who else wanted to be on the stack?
Barbara.
Anybody else?
Tony.
Tony? Okay, I'll stick myself on it. Or Paul. Okay. Okay, and I'll stick myself on at the end. Let's start with Michael.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. I don't have language for it. One would be that any directors who wish should be on the distribution list for the agendas and the minutes of the committee. I don't know if that's already the practice or not, because I've never been a director. And then could request permission to participate if there's a particular reason or topic that... As opposed to always being a participant, they might have a basis for a request to participate on a particular discussion.
Okay. Well, let me just do a point of information about what you raised, and then if there's a substitute motion, we can put that on the floor. But as a point of information, the agendas and minutes are generally posted to the National Finance Committee at yahoogroups.com. And at the moment, no, the other directors are not usually privy to that correspondence. I wouldn't have any objection to, providing that upon request. The motions that the committee passes are always forwarded onto the PNB. But that's all that we do at this moment in time. In terms of... individual directors requesting to be verbal participants on given topics, I think that's absolutely correct, and that's the case, and we would process those requests as we get them. And generally, they're granted. So I'm not sure that we need a special motion for that part.
Right, no, I was thinking that in terms of letting people know in advance what might be on the agenda. If these two directors are interested, maybe they could be added to the distribution list of the agenda and then the minutes, and so that might generate such a request.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. So can we kind of, I think that's actually almost like a separate motion or an amendment. How should we handle this? If it's okay, let's do it as a second amendment, because I think as a second motion, because I think it's a perfectly valid motion. It's just different than the one that John had on the floor. So we'll take it up there.
Tracy, as a point of information, I agree that that's a separate motion entirely.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so yeah, so we'll just put it over there, and we'll get to it as soon as we're done with the one that's on the floor. Barbara, you're next.
I have a point of information.
Mark.
Tony.
Okay, Tony, what's your point of information?
This only applies to these two. Will there be others making a request? Is there an unlimited amount that can do that, or?
I don't think we can stop people from making requests, but we're only processing the requests that we've received. But if people ask, they can ask, and we'll have to deal with it as it comes up. I hope it will not be a constant flood of requests because it'll be time consuming, but we'll have to sort of cross that bridge when we come to it. At the moment, we have only these two.
Point of information, Richard.
Okay. Richard, go ahead.
I thought the motion was to approve anybody, any director at any time.
The motion, as I understand it from John on the floor, is that any director can listen to both the open and closed sessions, which is in fact policy, so it's almost redundant, but that the standard policy of the NFC is verbal participation is limited to the individuals that are elected to the committee. If we get a particular request by a director or anybody else to participate verbally on a given topic or a particular meeting, we will respond to those one by one. Yeah, because they would be specific to a particular topic. And we usually, for example, have general managers with us for budget discussions, sometimes business managers. Brian DeShazer has already made a request to come to one of our meetings and give a presentation. And we generally acknowledge those, but they're specific requests. They're not ongoing.
So we shouldn't have to, parse each request from a director. The director is qualified to come listen but not speak, right?
Yeah. Sorry. Hang on a sec.
Okay. It sounds like Tracy is having a phone interference problem. So let me say, who was next on stack here? We had Michael.
I believe I was.
Sorry about that. I thought it was probably best not to put too many obscenities on the stream. My God. Anyway,
Barbara
woman
said,
walking past me just shrieking at the top of her lungs. Anyway, does that answer your point of information, Richard?
It does. Thank you.
Okay, so let's continue with the stack. Barbara.
Well, I was just remembering the times that people did speak. It seems a little difficult to have somebody not be able to participate. So I'd like to have it opened up just a little, not saying that they, I'm not counting them as voting members, but I would like to add something, like if someone, a voting member of the committee, wants to ask either of these guests about a topic, that there would be some ability to do that. But you've covered it in a way, Tracy, when you refer to when we've had particular discussions about particular topics. So I think restraining these people not to be able to speak at all isn't really appropriate, but not having voting privileges, I would agree with.
Marcus, through the stack.
Okay.
I was on stack.
Let's continue with the stack. Yes, I have the stack. The next person on the stack was Tony, followed by R. Paul and Marcus. I put you on at the end. Tony?
Yeah, I would be consistent with what the motion is. I think it's good for them to listen. I see the Finance Committee more as a working committee, and I think it's large enough to have dialogue and discussion where we can actually get things done. I think if you introduce people to involve in that discussion, I think it just turns into a regular P&B meeting. It stretches on and on. So I think we need to limit the discussion in speaking unless there's a special topic and that person, that we need that information from that person. Other than that, I don't think any discussion or even asking them a question, the listener the question, should be relevant. I think it's very important that the members of the committee focus on what they have to do and to work it out. And I would not be in favor of having those individuals participate. I mean, at some point, we got to get down to some work, and we got to get to the heart of the issues rather than having continual dialogue. So I would simply be in favor where the motion is written or the way the motion is stated, that they can listen in but do not participate, unless there's a majority vote of the committee that particular person has a specific amount of information, a specific information that we need Other than that, I would say no participation in terms of discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the standing policy, and it would be the will of the body to change it for a given conversation. Yeah. Okay, R. Paul Martin is next.
Okay, this is R. Paul Martin. Yeah, I agree with what was just said. One of the important things about a committee is that it has fewer people than a general assembly has. And, you know, we all have been through enough general assemblies at our LSBs and the PNB and maybe other groups that are big, and we can see how that can work or not. So the idea is to have a committee which has the same people showing up all the time, working on specific things, and that's how we get things done. And also, I'm not looking it up right now, but as I recall, Robert's Rules says that's basically the way it's done, although, of course, a committee can invite someone in for any purpose it pleases. So I am in favor of the motion as it is, and, you know, if people feel the need to log in to be there to listen, which I think would only be really relevant on an executive session call, that's okay, but once you start adding a few extra people, and we might end up with a few extra people. I mean, not everybody in Pacifica agrees with everybody else. And so if X is found to be going to go to the NFC meeting, Y may want to be there. And, Z and A and B and C might also. So you can see how that could be a problem if they also get to all say whatever they want to say there. You would very soon clog it up. So, in the interest of not clogging it up anymore, I'll just say I'm in favor of the motion, but that's the extent of it for me.
Okay, Mark, this is the last person on the stack.
Thank you. I cannot support this motion. I think both of these individuals are informed folks who have standing within our organization and who have something to contribute, and I can't imagine why we would not want to allow them to participate. It's not like they're outsiders. One's a PMB member, and one's from our affiliates. And I just don't get why we want to silence participation in this committee. So that to me is very disappointing, and I cannot support the motion, and hope others will not as well. Thank you.
Okay, I had myself on the stack, but I think the conversation's been thorough enough. So if there are no further takers for the stack, I think we'll probably go to a vote on the motion. So last call. All right. R. Paul, do you want to call the roll on Mr. Crumshaw's motion?
Okay, here we go. Not here. Okay, on the motion. Jim Boyd.
Yes.
John Cromshaw.
Yes.
Okay. Marcus Jenner.
No.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Porny Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
No.
Tracy Rosenberg.
I'm going to vote yes.
Manish Estaba, Richard Uzel,
yes.
Barbara Whipperman?
No.
Okay. I have 6-4, 3 against, 0 abstentions.
All right. The motion passes, and that will be the policy going forward. I will take the responsibility of notifying Luzette King and Janice Ewart this evening, or first thing tomorrow morning, as time allows. Okay, the next motion on the floor was presented by Michael Novick. Michael, if you want to repeat it and motivate it.
My motion was that directors who requested be sent the agendas of the meetings and the of meetings so that they would have the option of requesting participation on a particular topic.
Will you use a computer?
I'm sorry?
I don't think that was meant to be on the stream. I just keep going.
Oh, okay. The motivation is that if directors are interested enough to follow the proceedings and feel that they have something to contribute, they should have the option of knowing in advance what the topics under consideration are.
Okay. All right. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Our poll for getting them wording. What I have is...
Let's do that first. Yes.
Directors who request it be sent agendas and minutes of meetings so they can request participation on a particular topic. Is that it?
Yeah, let's close that.
Okay. I think logistically, just as a note, the draft agendas could certainly be sent. Of course, the final agenda is always subject to the will of the body, so all we could send is the drafts. And the minutes, we would just add to the distribution list, so I think that's doable. Do you agree, Mr. Secretary?
I have a question. Are all directors able to access the files section of the Yahoo mailing list website?
No.
Right. So that's how they're posted. They're posted as, you know, I post them up to the files section and post a link.
Ah.
And so that's only open to people, you know, not open to everybody. I mean, I suppose you could open that entire thing up, all the files section, to the entire PNB.
Well, that would be one option. The other option could be that simply because it's easy enough to download those as text files and send them out, is you could assign me as chair to process those requests on receipt of the minutes to those who have requested them.
Okay.
That's another option.
I'm not quite getting that. Would you say that again, please?
Okay, well, the problem with potentially doing that, and maybe it's a problem and maybe not, would simply be that all of the listserv traffic would then be, in other words, people just can't be readers only of the finance group. They would then become participants in email exchanges, which
it
might be fine.
It wouldn't be a closed list anymore.
Right, which might be fine. The alternative to that, if we don't want to do that, the alternative to that would be that I'm offering as chair that I would download the files that RPAL sends with the minutes before the meeting, or I guess after the meeting once they're approved, and just distribute them to whatever distribution list we have of non-members, which I can do.
Okay, I don't know that we need a motion for that at all, but yeah, you could do that, yeah.
Yeah, and that way... It would be done. Yes, John, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I was just going to say that it seems as if a motion would not be necessary because you have already volunteered to provide this information, and it would be an informal way of handling it, and it seems a very customary way for people who want it to be informed, and so it seems as if there's no need for a motion. You're already saying that you're going to take care of it, and incidentally, there's no second.
Okay. I mean, the only thing that I would say is, that as long as that plan meets with the approval of the body, I mean, that's what it would come down to.
I'm in favor of it. It seems reasonable to me. John, speaking.
Okay. Well, then let me do this parliamentarily. Michael, does that fulfill the intention of your motion?
That's fine. I mean, I think the draft agenda is probably more important in a sense because anybody can listen to the stream and hear what happens as far as the minutes go. So if you're willing to send that out to any of the directors who request it, I think that's the main idea.
Yes, that's fine. That's just adding a couple of addresses to the email. It's not problematic. Okay, is there any objection then to what we're planning to do?
Are we therefore withdrawing the motion itself?
Yes, we are, but if you could put in the minutes that the agendas and minutes will forthwith be distributed by the chair to any directors who request them. And the chair will make this offer clear to the two members who have requested them and all the other members of the PNB, so they know. Okay. good. That was straightforward. I'm glad. All right, so we are in the back half of the agenda, which is great. The next item that we have is a review of the preliminary consolidated financial statement. And what I'm going to suggest, and this is open to the will of the body, is the consolidated financial statement that we've gotten is preliminary. In my humble opinion, there's a couple of mistakes in it. But that said, some numbers are better than no numbers, and I think there is, you know, information that we can get out of it that will be helpful. So what I'd like to propose, and I don't want to drop this on anybody's head, would be that at the next meeting, that we would go around the horn and have the treasurers, you know, take a look at those numbers and their first quarter budgets and give us a little bit of an analysis of what happened and where they are and what the prospects are for the second quarter. Usually we have the treasurer sort of initiate these reports, and then the PNB member from the station weighs in, and then we discuss it. I don't generally want people to improvise these reports too much, so my preference would be that we come back and do that after people have had a chance to kind of look things over. And that would be at the end of March. It would be the fourth Tuesday in March, so we'll also sort of have some perceptions as to how things have gone over the second quarter, which I think will be helpful. So that's what I'm proposing, and the stack is open for comments or other plans.
Marcus, is that?
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael Dillard.
Okay. Okay, let's go to Marcus.
Thanks. I think that's a great suggestion. I was wondering if the document can be forwarded in an Excel document, because it's a little hard to follow each line item in a PDF.
As a PDF, yikes. It came from the national office, so I would have to make a request to get it in an Excel format. There are some PDF to Excel converters that I could try, but I don't know how much of a mess they would create.
Yeah, no, I don't have a converter. So, I mean, it's low priority, but if you find that's available, that would be helpful.
Okay. I will ask, and I will copy the committee, and hopefully it will come.
Thanks.
Or Paul?
I just don't have the original document, so I don't want to promise. Okay, so that was Marcus. We had Michael next on the stack.
And our Paul?
Yeah. I'm not sure if it relates to this or to the budgetary scheduling, but we decided to switch our local State Board Finance Committee meetings from the first Monday to the third Monday of the month in order to be able to get fairly fresh financials, because we on the first Monday we almost never have anything very current.
Mm-hmm.
And a prior treasurer, the one before Kim, suggested that the business manager apparently is supposed to turn in reports to the national office by the 5th of the month, but then there's a very long time before they get the revised versions back that include formulas for benefits and other things that get worked into the spreadsheets. So I'm wondering, in terms of the timing of some of this, if there's some way to accelerate that process. In other words, we just met on the 4th. We're not actually meeting again until later in April at this point.
Okay, so that's about the meeting scheduling again, and that's another vote for the fourth Tuesday of the month to be the standing meeting. Okay. I'm still not sure how.
About the turnaround time from the time that station business managers send reports into the national office to when the monthly financials get generated for each station.
Okay, just give me a second to let a siren clear so I don't hurt your ears. I'll be right back.
Sure. Anybody else on the call can answer that?
I'm not quite understanding your question, Michael. Are you saying how can we get the information from our business managers more quickly?
As was explained to me, the logjam is somehow between the business manager and the national office, that the business manager sends certain figures in and then has to wait to get something back from the national office that incorporates benefits and other formulas. And I'm wondering what the turnaround time has been on that, if there's some way to accelerate it. In terms of the flow of looking at financials.
I think those, this isn't a crosstalk situation if Tracy's on the line. I don't know. I could say something, but.
Yeah, I don't know if our poll wants to.
Tracy, are you there? I thought she came back. She didn't come back. Okay. All right. So, Barbara, you had a question, an additional question for Michael here?
No, I was going to comment on his, I was going to answer his question or give my opinion.
Right, go ahead. As far as I know, I'll be in a stack somewhere.
Okay. Life in Oscar Grant Plaza. Yes, I'm sorry. Oscar Grant Plaza is a little exciting this evening. Anyway, so we're talking about the scheduling. I mean, what I would say is that what we're trying to schedule right now is a look at the first quarter consolidated statement, which you all have, and I assume that you have your station budgets. In terms of the second quarter, we will have to wait until April in order to have those numbers, I think. But what we would basically be doing is just talking about our own perceptions of how fund drives went, and so on, and we wouldn't really be able to do confirmed second quarter numbers until we have confirmed second quarter numbers.
Yeah, my question is, right now the only thing I've seen, I've seen financials for, I think, January. And so I'm just wondering if there's a way to accelerate the process of getting the monthly financials between the business managers and the national office.
Yeah, my guess is we'll need more permanent staffing in the national office to change much of anything, which the pandemic is working on, but it's not immediate, but it's certainly something that we can ask for. I don't know if we'll get it at this point in time. Yes, R. Paul, you were next. Go ahead.
I want to second the request that we get this sent to us in a spreadsheet as opposed to the blank page PDF with the numbers in it, because I think we all know the issue of having to, make it bigger, and then you have to scroll back and forth, and did I follow that line right, and all of that good stuff. So that's an important part of it, I think. Plus, with a spreadsheet, if you're looking at something and you say, huh, you can, click on the cell, and it may give you more information about how was that number calculated. That might clear something up or show something that needs further questioning. I think we really need to have that, and I think we just absolutely need to have it as a spreadsheet, and I would hope that the national office will be issuing spreadsheets to us henceforth, because we see all the stuff, so there's no confidentiality issue in that. So,
yes, duly noted, and I agree, and yes.